Uncensored.
Holy moly, the giraffe party's almost here. I hope you animals are ready to break out of your cages. There's nothing more exciting than the commission's giraffe party. So make sure you're there April 25 and 26th. And if this is your first giraffe party, we've got one thing to say to you. Welcome to the f***ing family!
The month of April was made for Buffalo Wild Wings. Why? Plenty of excuses for you to go and be at Buffalo Wild Wings this month. Whether it's the start of the Major League Baseball season, of course, the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Stanley Cup playoffs, trying that all-new, all-American cheeseburger with that gooey cheese. And of course, the 2019 Bud Light Bucks Uncensored Draft Party, April 25th and 26th. There you will have a $25 all-you-can-eat buffet, 16-ounce aluminum bottles of Bud Light, Mick Ultra, 5 for $15, 2 portable outdoor bars underneath our huge tent and in front of that massive HD screen, all taking credit cards, giving you quick access to what you need on draft night. The draft. Buffet, food, and alcohol. You're only going to find it at Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa. We look forward to seeing you there. Buffalo Wild Wings, Bucks Uncensored, JoeBucksFan.com, and of course the Bucks Mob. We welcome you to the family. Springtime's always been the right time to buy a new or pre-owned vehicle. It was for me just 1 year ago. It can be you this year. Mastro Subaru, the place to go for new and pre-owned vehicles, especially if you're a Bucks fan. If you go there, test drive a vehicle, you want to buy that vehicle, you tell them you're a member of the Bucks Mob, you get a special discount just for being a Bucks fan. It's that simple. Mastro Subaru has two locations serving the Bucks Mob throughout the I-4 corridor. One in Orlando, one right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans. Mastro Subaru, check out their full selection. New and pre-owned vehicles at MastroSubaru.com.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're gonna have to send me home. 'Cause I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
I'm not about building, I'm about reloading.
As far as goals go, we have one. Putting a fucking ring on our finger.
He said, "Coach, how's it feel to be the coolest coach in the NFL? I said, "Just being me."
This is it. It's the final countdown. It's what we've all been waiting for. We are less than 2 weeks away from the biggest party event the sports scene in this area has seen. We'll see all year. Okay, this is where a couple thousand people to get together to watch players get selected for their team. I fucking love it. You fucking love it. It's an excuse for all of us to get together to pretty much, and listen, more moves will be made and whatnot, but this is like the midway point between last season and the upcoming season. Between really a majority of the off season, and now it's pick and choose after the draft is over. Pick and choose some players that fit your team, and then get your team ready for the upcoming season. This is a celebration. A celebration of hope. That's what it is. It's a celebration of the hope we all have for our team to finally give us what we want. Wins, meaningful games late in the season, and ultimately a playoff appearance. This is where it starts. I've had a lot of time over the last week. I've watched those Bruce Arians football life and whatnot. This is a different coaching staff and a different mindset than we've had. I believe this coaching staff, unlike previous coaching staffs, maybe the previous four coaching staffs, I believe this staff has not a plan. I think everyone has a plan, but I think a legit plan, a well thought out plan, and a true plan that is going to get not only the organization on track, but back to the playoffs. Because Bruce Arians has lived it. Okay, Raheem Morris had not lived it. Greg Schiano had not lived it. Lovie Smith, who the fuck knows? And Dirk Cutter lived it as a head coach, not in the NFL. Bruce Arians has. I mean, going through that football life on NFL Network and where he's come from and all the places he's been and all the different jobs he's had and all the players that he's worked with and what he's accumulated over the years and how it hasn't beaten him down. It's almost motivated him, energized him. That excites me. I have no idea who they're going to select. And we're going to talk about the offensive lineman here because the right side of the line, still a question mark for me. But this is an important draft for Bruce Arians, who's not getting any younger. I'm sure he wants players that can contribute, but he also needs players that are going to lay a foundation so that when we're looking at years 3 and 4, this team is looking at those players entering the prime of their careers, much like a lot of the players they have on the current roster. They've done a decent job at drafting. Keeping the current players along with these new players and building a complete roster. I'm the anticipations here, the breakdowns, the debates. I mean, this is the time of draft season where some people start to ramp it up, but if you've been following it, what else is there to say? I'm going to tell you about the offensive lineman, and I don't think that there's one in the first round for this team, unless they want to look at a Taylor and look at him as a right tackle, but you know, I think this team needs to go defense early. And so I'm going to tell you some offensive linemen at the top of round 2. Some offensive linemen, well, really, offensive linemen day 2. Offensive linemen day 3. And they can get good offense. And here's the thing. Left tackle, left guard, and center are solid. So right guard and right tackle. Damar Dotson's coming back, so it's not like not an emergency that you have to have a right tackle that needs to step in right now and play. That might be an opportunity for a fourth or fifth round offensive tackle that can develop behind Damar Dotson. And at guard, we don't know how they view Alex Kappa. If they believe Kappa's ready to be a starter, then perhaps they're not going to invest a draft pick early on or maybe at all in a guard. If they feel Kappa's there, and if they feel Kappa is the guy that's going to be their guard this season, then maybe they don't draft a guard until maybe the later rounds, maybe day 3 of the draft. But if they are iffy and shrugging their shoulders when asked about right guard, and they don't know if this guy that they just signed in free agency or then maybe we see them take a guard in round 2, at the top of round 2. We'll talk about some of those guys. But first, of course, April 25th, 26th, the 2019 Bud Light Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. Buffalo Wild Wings, South Tampa, Southdale Mabry. Dale Mabry almost near Gandy. This is the central point for really the entire area. If you're coming from Pinellas County, you can take the Gandy Bridge. If you're coming from Sarasota, you can head up to Brandon. If you're coming from Brandon, boom. Or if you're coming from Westlake Chapel, come down 75. They all converge right there at the crosstown. Take the crosstown to Dale Mabry, and literally it like drops you off right at Buffalo Wild Wings. If you're coming from North Tampa, take Dale Mabry south past the stadium. Wave to them as you drive by, because the party that's giving you an all-you-can-eat buffet for $25 all night long for like 6 hours. Bud Light, Mick Ultra, aluminum bottle, 16 ounce, five for $15. $3 shot specials all night. Okay, different shot specials. I mean, what more could a big, huge HD screen, big tent, plenty of access to alcohol, credit card access everywhere, outdoor porta potties, and an incredible atmosphere with Bucks fans just like you and I. That's what's happening. That's what I'm excited about. Portion of the proceeds going to go to help out our friends over at Quantum Leap and what they do for the ex-military. Amazing. It's just going to be, we'll have a DJ out there playing music up till the time the draft starts at 8 to get the adrenaline going. And there's no cover. The only thing you pay for is the food you want and the drinks you want. Okay? That's it. If you want to drink water the entire night, you will not spend one dime. Not a dime. It's open for you. Okay? I think the Bucks do a great job with their draft party of making it family friendly. You know, if you've got a six-year-old, I'm not bringing my daughters, okay? If you got a six-year-old, seven-year-old, eight-year-old, the stadium's probably best for you. If you want to party your ass off with like-minded Bucks fans that are tired of the losing and ready for the winning, Buffalo Wild Wings is the place to be. Access to alcohol, the draft everywhere, chants. People having a blast, blowing the roof off that motherfucker with how loud we're going to get. Man, the goosebumps are just popping up all over my body. Love it. Love it. Now we'll talk about the main position on Wednesday's podcast. That being defensive line and edge rushers. I can't remember a draft as stacked as this one is at that position. But offensive line is also a need position for the Bucks. And damn it, if there was ever a draft where Jason Light could finally address both sides of the line, just stack it up, man. I mean, I feel good about the left side of the offensive line. I feel good about Pierre Paul and Nassib and Vita Vea. Let's finish them. You know, let's finish the line of scrimmage on both sides. Why even have holes or weaknesses when you've got a draft where you can get two defensive linemen and two offensive linemen? And maybe they're not going to invest four top draft. That's fine. That's fine, because I get it. I get running back, corner, if there's a safety that's they feel is a good fit, if they need a speed receiver, I get it. There's other positions out there, okay? But damn, they've got a valuable opportunity to finally address and fix some of the weaknesses both sides of the line on the line of scrimmage. Let's start with the offensive line. So the way I view it with the fifth overall pick, unless they look at Taylor, who's the tackle from Florida, who could play right tackle, okay? Not the worst. And listen, if they decide to go in that direction, I understand it. I get it. Now, I get people like me that want the defensive lineman, but I also understand if they feel Taylor can be that bookend to Donovan Smith, and now you've got two offensive tackles who can grow together with a guy in Marpet at guard. Now you build an offensive line. With that said, I don't know. I probably wouldn't do it in this draft, especially knowing that Damar Dotson signed. It's not a desperate need. And right tackle and right guard typically are positions you can find in rounds 2 through 5, I would say. So it's not out of the question. Yeah, sure, I would love the best offensive tackle and just load up the best, try and get the best offensive line in football. But again, if I feel good about Donovan Smith and Ali Marpet on the left side, and looking at the depth of this draft, which if I'm putting up a big draft board, I'm going to look and say, okay, I see good depth at offensive line, offensive tackle on the right side, guys that can play on the right side. I see decent depth at guard. I don't think those positions are as dire as really needing to not only address the defensive line in terms of talent, you're changing schemes here too. And we don't know what's happening with Gerald McCoy. So that's why early on I'd go there. However, that does not mean I'm going to discount offensive line throughout the draft. I think day two, you've got a number of guys, probably about 5 or 6 guys you could look at. Day two, you probably got about 10 guys you could look at. And then day three, when you're talking about 4th and 5th round guys, I think there's a number of guys you could look at that could go anywhere from 3rd, 4th, or 5th round. So let's start with day two, and let's start with the 2nd round, because I think there's a couple of offensive tackles. You look at a Caleb McGarry from Washington, Greg Little, who could play guard tackle from Ole Miss, the Yadni Kajusti, who could go 2nd, 3rd round. He's from West Virginia. So you got some offensive tackles there. Okay, I think Dillard goes round one. I think Cody Ford goes round one. I think Jonah Williams goes round one. And I think Garrett Bradbury, as I believe he's a center, so he probably goes round one. Eric McCoy could go round one. And here's where I'm going to put a few of these guys, like Eric McCoy, Chris Lindstrom, Dalton Reisner. All those guys, Reisner can play guard center. Lindstrom is more of just a guard. McCoy could play guard center, right? So, and Reisner, I think, is a guard tackle. You could probably play right tackle. So you're looking at those three guys, I would say, and could make the argument that they're the top three interior offensive linemen that could play, you know, a couple of them, all three of them can play guard, one can play center. So, I mean, I'm a fan of all three, and all three could be there. 2 of 3, 1 of 3 could be there at the top of round two. If they went with any of those three players, completely understand. Okay, Greg Little's another one who could play guard tackle. McGarry is more of a tackle. Then you look at, and those are probably more early 2nd round picks. You look to 3rd round, you've got a guy in Connor McGovern who could play guard or center. You've got a Titus Howard who's coming from small school Alabama State, could play right tackle as a developmental guy. Remember what I said. Maybe you want to draft a guy who could develop behind Damar Dotson for a year and then step in. Now the question with Howard is he going, how far or how high is he going to end up going? Is that a guy who could slip to the late 3rd or into the 4th? And if he slips to the 4th round, now that's a very viable option for the Bucs. Or if they trade it into the late 3rd, because you could get Titus Howard, you could have him sit for a year, develop behind Damar Dotson, then step in, and now you're building a young offensive line without having to invest a top 3 round pick. You've now invested a 4th round pick, or like I said, maybe a trade into the late 3rd with that 4th round pick, and you are still able to draft players early in rounds 1, 2, and 3 to address other positions. But listen, and you know, Michael Deiter, who's a an offensive guard. So you look at those players and it's like, okay, you know, we could go 2nd round. We could go with one of those top guards. You look to 3rd round, you could still get a McGovern. You could still get a Titus Howard. And even into day 3, whether it's a Bobby Evans, who's a tackle out of Oklahoma, or a Beau Ben Shawell out of Wisconsin, probably 3rd or 4th round guy, more of just a guard, stereotypical Wisconsin guard. Nate Davis is a guard out of a smaller school in Charlotte. So if you've already got an Alex Kappa, do you really want another small school guard? I don't know. Then you got a Max Sharping out of Northern Illinois. So it's a lot of names, but when you start to look at whether it's a Sharping or an Isaiah Prince or a Bobby Evans or a Titus Howard, when I mention all those names, those are just offensive tackles that can play on the right side. You know, it's kind of like a Morgan Moses a couple of years ago. I think he's with Washington still. And then I think the Panthers got a guy out of Oklahoma a couple of years. Stereotypical Daryl Henderson, Daryl something. Stereotypical right tackle, right big, physical, probably not as athletic as a left tackle. Goes in the late third, fourth, fifth round. Plug-and-play guy. Plug-and-play guy. I don't understand why it's been so hard for this team to find those types of players. Those types of offensive linemen, but they're there for the taking. And same thing goes for this year. So, positive for this team, I'm good with the left side of the line. Positive, the needs are on the right side. And one more positive, the right side of the offensive line can be addressed early in the draft, middle of the draft, or later in the draft. It can be done. And those are the names that I would target. And in particular, if I had to narrow it down and give you who my favorite ones were, my favorite ones, Chris Lindstrom, I think is a dominant run blocker, nasty, physical, stereotypical guard. Okay, you want a guard, he's your guard. He could sneak into the late first, but you're not going to get him past the early second round. I also like Reisner and I like Eric McCoy. Those are my three that I've identified. McCoy being able to play guard, and then if we wanted to move him into center, you know, if they wanted to move on from Jensen, now you've developed McCoy at guard, can move him to center. He might be the most attractive of those three with that versatility. And thinking long-term, maybe him taking over for Jensen eventually in being the long-term center of this team. And that's what Jason Light, Bruce Arians, and the entire staff have to take into consideration. I think Reisner can play tackle or guard, and I like his mindset, nasty, physical. So all three of those guys, those are the three offensive linemen I would be most interested in at the top of round two. If I got into round three, early in round three was where I was going to target a corner or a running back because I wanted to address either offensive line and defensive line or just defensive line and edge rusher the first two picks. Then I open it up round three, and I'm looking at maybe a corner or a running back or whatnot. And then late third, early fourth was when I was going to grab either Ben Shawell out of Wisconsin or a Titus Howard, the offensive tackle, or Connor McGovern out of Penn State, the guard or center. So now, okay, I can still get a valuable offensive lineman. I still address my defense with those two picks unless I wanted to go Eric McCoy or a Lindstrom, right, at the top of round two. And then that third round is where I could get that corner that slipped a little bit or that running back that right before the run-on-run, maybe a Miles Sanders, who I really like a lot, or David Montgomery. You know, you could look at them at the top of round three. And then at the top of round four or trade up slightly in the late round four, you get that offensive lineman as well. I mean, it seems like it's pretty laid out there for the Bucs. Okay? And I know Ren over at PewterCast, I mean, he's saying the same. If they do this the right way, the draft just fucking plays out perfectly for them. You know, whether they want to get a Coney or a Lamar at linebacker in the fourth or fifth round, they could look at, you know, maybe that's a fifth round pick. Maybe the fourth round pick is one of these offensive linemen. Third round, you get your running back. You get a corner. I don't know. You know, again, you're limited on picks. Pick and choose. Maybe you do trade down with the fifth pick. Maybe you try and stockpile some draft picks and still get a Rashawn Gary or still get an Ed Oliver or still get a Montez Sweat or still get, a Wilkins out of Clemson. I mean, the possibilities are endless. That's why no one's right and no one's wrong. Every mock draft is just meant to have you discuss things. Any NFL draft expert or analyst that thinks their mock draft is right is lying to you. Or they're so self-centered that they have no idea how the draft actually works. The thing I love most about the draft is the anticipation, the guessing game. Over the next 2 weeks, the rumors are going to be rampant, okay? Trust the source. Trust the person reporting the rumor, okay? You cannot, I'm pleading with you, do not believe every rumor that is thrown out there. Don't do it. You're going to drive yourself crazy. You know, I have a group of friends and we actually run rumors by each other to see, does this make sense or not? Do it. And I'll do my best in trying to keep you all up to date on, you know, what you should be looking into and what's not, you know, from my perspective. It's not like I have a great perspective. It's not like I have any more inside info than anyone else. But I think we all have at least some common sense. And if it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, it probably is not a real rumor. If it makes sense and you can connect the dots, might be smoke to that fire. Bucks takes, man, we got a lot of them. People are fired up and we are starting the roll call. I know I said I'd wait. I was going to wait until the week of, but it's going to be too much. It's going to be too much. We got a mock draft Monday today. A bunch of people want to give their mock drafts. I'll give mine. Okay, we've got the roll call starting. So if you didn't send one in for this podcast, that's okay. If you're coming to the draft party and you're going to be just chugging some Bud Lights, doing those shots, high-fiving me, the commish, doing chants with us, chanting players, chanting the team, blow the roof off that motherfucker, man. Pause this podcast. Give me 30 seconds, 30 to 60 seconds. Tell me your name, where you're coming from, exact location. You know, if you're coming from another state, you can say the state or the city in the state. But if you're coming from, I'm coming from Carrollwood. I'm coming from Sarasota. I'm coming from Daytona Beach. I'm coming from Fort Lauderdale. I'm coming from Orlando, Winter Garden. I'm coming from Ocala, Tallahassee, Gainesville, Jacksonville, Pensacola, Panama City. Where are you coming from? And then share with everyone your excitement. Have you been before? If you've been before, share a story. What's got you excited about this year's party after attending last year's or the last couple of years' parties? And if you've never come before, what are you most excited about? What are you most excited about experiencing? This is it, man. Like I said, you know, yeah, we all want the Bucks to win. They're going to select some players, and we're going to probably think they're the best players that they could have ever selected. But more importantly than that, it's a family reunion. We're coming together. And it happens 1 week from this Thursday. Can't wait. This is Bucks Uncensored. Your Bucks takes are next. The 2019 Bud Light Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. No cover charge is coming up next Thursday as well. We will see you there. Welcome to the fucking family.
Bucks Uncensored.
Party rock! Party rock! Party rock! Yeah. Woo! Let's go.
Party rock is in the house tonight. Everybody just have a cool time.
Yeah.
And we gon' make you lose your mind.
Mock Draft Monday, we do it right here on Bucks Uncensored, giving you the opportunity to send in your Bucks takes with what you think or how you think the first five picks will play out. I'll give you mine at the end of this little segment. Get these Bucks takes in. People are fired up. We've got some wanting to do the roll call. We got some wanting to do the mock draft Monday. I got Seth, man, who caught up with a former assistant coach of Bruce Arians and shares a little few tidbits as well. But first, it's that time of year, isn't it?
Hey, Justin. Hey, fellow Bucks Mob members. It's me, Javier, from Panama City, Panama. And I just want to confirm or add to the list the name of Panama, the country. That's right. Third time in a row, third year in a row, that Panama will be in attendance at the motherfucking Bucks Uncensored draft party. I just can't wait. We're all going to have a blast. And hope to see you guys soon.
Javier is in. Third year in a row, he has come to us from Panama City, Panama, for the Bucks Uncensored draft party this year. It's the Bud Light Bucks Uncensored draft party. Javier, we cannot wait to see you. You know, the first year we had this, Javier says he's coming from Panama, right? And we're like, what? This was just 2 years ago. And then we had Papa Bucks, our buddy Brandon in Oregon, start up a GoFundMe account so that he could join us for the 2017 draft party at Sports Legends. And he made it, and he made enough money so that he could come to the party. It was surreal. Just really, really amazing. So great stuff, Javier. We are definitely looking forward to seeing you very, very soon. Tommy is up next. It's Mock Draft Monday.
Justin, what's up? It's Tommy from Deltona. I got a Monday mock draft take for you, brother. First pick, Arizona Cardinals taking Kyler Murray with the first pick. Second pick, I got Denver and John Elway and his CTE problems, bro. He's going to trade with San Francisco to, even though he's already got Joe Flacco, he's still going to trade up. With San Francisco, and number two overall, and draft Dwayne Haskins, and with the third overall pick, I got Jets drafting Quinnen Williams. Sorry to say, but hold on, hold the brakes. You'll like this coming up. Oakland Raiders are going to draft Devin White because they want that speed linebacker, which leaves, yes, who's left on the board? Joey Bosa, that big end to play in that 3-4 defensive end, rush the gap, rush the end, take up those linemen. Oh, I'm getting all tongue twisted. I'm getting so excited just talking about it. Oh, man. Oh, Joey Bosa there at 5. I'm just, oh, yes. This could totally happen. This would be even better than O.J. Howard at 19. This could totally happen. You know how crazy the draft is. You know how crazy the draft can be. Holy shit, this could totally happen. I was doing some mock drafts, writing them down, and just thinking about what could possibly go on. And this one, I just popped into my head, and then bam, this went down. And you know how crazy John Elway is. You don't know what the heck he's going to do. And then John Lynch, he's looking out to trade out of that spot too. He's got some CTE problems too. With what he paid Quan Alexander. $13.5 million? Yeah. Come on now. By the way, appreciate you looking out for me with the draft party and everything, bro. I'm going to be there and everything. You don't need to do anything for me, bro. My medicine is just talking about the Bucks, so I was just worried about dealing with crowds and stuff like that because I get anxious and stuff when dealing with crowds and everything. So no worries about that because I'm going to be around family. I'm going to be around Bucks people. I'm going to be around Bucks family. So I don't know what to expect, but I'm expecting to be around family. And so that's what it is. So hopefully that's what it is, you know, a family. And that's what you keep saying it is, so that's what I expect it to be, a big-ass party with my family. So anyways, I didn't mean to get too emotional there for a minute, but that's my Mock Draft Monday. Crushed it.
Tommy, good. Good to have you back, giving us that Mock Draft Monday. Nick Bosa, not Joey, that's fine. You know, Nick, I've already seen there's a story out, and I got people texting me. So apparently Nick Bosa has been active on Twitter before, and he's an active Republican and Trump supporter, and has also spoken out about Colin Kaepernick and the kneeling down. To not draft a player because of that, I mean, I hope the top four teams don't, because he's a damn good player, and I've said from the beginning, help us win football games. I don't know him personally. I will say this. I don't think, I mean, it's not, it wouldn't be surprising to me, because I don't think Bosa, I mean, I think there's a large number of players in NFL locker rooms that probably didn't agree with Colin Kaepernick and probably are Trump supporters. I mean, I don't know. Get along with him, not get along with him. He's a damn good football player. I don't really remember it ever affecting things in Ohio State. I don't know. I'm not one to jump to conclude. I'm not going to jump on the guy and call him a racist or call him any of this. I just, if he slips to the Bucks and they take him, I mean, I ain't going to be mad about it. Okay? Again, I don't know the guy. So judging somebody by simply their tweets, it's a little much. I'm pretty sure the teams have done their due diligence. The only team that might hesitate would be the Niners, just because of the Colin Kaepernick thing. But if Bosa's there for the Jets, and you could get Sam Darnold last year and Bosa this year, that's, how do you pass on that? And then if you're the Raiders, golly. Yay, yay, yay. Especially when you have to see Joey Bosa each year. Why not get Nick on your side? So the dream of Bosa, Nick Bosa, slipping to the Bucks at 5, I just don't see it happening. But Tommy, man, if it happens, I'm all for it. Oh, Chisel.
Yo, Justin, what's up, man? It's Oh, Chisel. Hey, man, listen. I don't never do a mock draft, but you know what? I think that I'm going to just try a little something. So I'm just thinking, like, okay, let's just mess up the whole complete draft by starting off with number one. Instead of Arizona going to get Kyler Murray, let's go ahead and give them Quinnen Williams. The Niners will go ahead and take Nick Bosa, as we've all said they would. The Jets, on the other hand, are going to go for Greedy Williams, because that seems to be one of their top needs in this year's draft. You know, your man John Gruden, he doesn't shy away from quarterbacks, so I'm going to go ahead and give him Drew Locke, not Haskins and not Murray. He likes that kid, Drew Locke. He might have seen something in him. So I'm going to give them Drew Locke. And with our Buccaneers, let's just go ahead and put Ed Oliver at number 5 for the Bucks and get the party started. That's all I want to say. Y'all have a good one. See y'all at the draft party later.
Oh, Chisel, going to be at the draft party. I don't know if it's going to be the Cardinals or somebody else, but I have a hard time believing anyone other than Kyler Murray is going to be number one. Now, what could happen? Raiders pop up there, get Murray, Cardinals fall to 4, and now you've got Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, 1, 2, 3, go. And now you're the Bucs. You're sitting there, and you could take Ed Oliver. You could take Christian Wilkins or Montez Sweat or Rashawn Gary or Devin White or Devin Bush. Or, I mean, at that point, they need to love Ed Oliver. Like, do they love Ed Oliver more than that much more than Wilkins, who could play that position, or one of the edge rushers in a Montez Sweat or Brian Burns, or a Rashawn Gary who could play that end as well? Now, if they love Ed Oliver more than all those other players, you select Ed Oliver. If you're like, Ed Oliver, you know, maybe we view him equal to the other players, okay. Then now I think you do open it up and you talk to other teams, because there's no guarantee Ed Oliver goes 5, 6, 7, or 8. Okay? I mean, the Bucks traded down last year and everyone thought, oh my God, they're not going to be, who are they going to get? And then both Vita Vea and Derwin James were there for him. Right? When people thought Vita Vea and Derwin James were going to go in the top 10. We don't know. We don't know how these teams view these players. So they still might love Ed Oliver, trade down to 10, and he falls right to them. Or they like Rashawn Gary, or they like Sweat, or they like whoever else. All those other players I mentioned. So if they got Ed Oliver, though, I wouldn't be disappointed. Defense. Defense. Connor's up next with us. What up, Connor?
Yo, what up, Justin? What up, Bucks Mom? It's Connor here in Hudson, Florida. And you best believe I'm going to be at that fucking draft party with my brother and some other friends. And we're going to be partying ass off with all you guys. But I can't officially drink yet because I'm only 19. But yet, in 2 years, when I officially turn 21, at the next draft party, it's going down. But it's Mock Draft Monday, and I'm going to tell you guys how I see the draft and how I want the draft to play out. I can't predict it. Fucking... hell no. But with number one overall pick, I see the Cardinals going with a gun, still taking Kyler Murray. Number two overall, I see the Niners taking Nick Bosa, the best player in this draft available to me, in my honest opinion. Number three overall, I see the Jets trading down with the Redskins, because the Redskins really need that quarterback, and they don't know what their future is with Alex Smith, who is really hurt right now. Number four overall, Number four overall, the Raiders. I think they're going to take Josh Allen. And number five overall, the Bucks are going to take Quinnen Williams, to play that 3-4 DN in our 3-4 attack-style defense, hybrid defense. And our second-round pick, I really wanted to take Deebo Samuel. He's a really nice, shifty receiver who can take that little drag route to the house and make a lot of people miss. Well, there was my mock draft money and my freaking roll call for the draft party. Hope to see you all there. I'm either got a spot, I got blonde hair, blue eyes, and I got a fuck ton of acne. I'm ready to party, and go Bucks! Welcome to the fucking family.
All right, Connor. Kind of be at the draft party, man. Looking forward to his 21st birthday when it hits here. Then he's going to really party it up at the 2000. What is it, 20 or 21? He said he's 19 this year, but then said, who knows? Maybe next year's close. I don't know. I'll be checking those IDs. I'll promise you that. Seth. Now, Seth is on with us and sent in kind of a special Bucks take, because he actually had a chance to talk with extensively a former assistant coach of Bruce Arians and gives us a little insight into that conversation. Thanks, Seth.
What's up, Bucks Mob? This is Seth. I'm a coach from Maryland. I got on the podcast about 2 years ago after going up to Penn State and was talking about Saquon Barkley and how impressed I was with him, and just watching him practice and interact with his teammates. Just thought the dude was a beast. And I wanted to say that, well, this year I went to the University of Maryland clinic, and I got to meet their offensive coordinator sitting in on team meetings and all that shit, football shit that I like. But I wanted to share, Scotty Montgomery is, he was the head coach at ECU, offensive coordinator at Duke, but he was the wide receiver coach under BA when he was in Pittsburgh. And after talking with him, I mean, talking all the football shit that I wanted, I actually got in, he started talking about BA and how much of a role model and person he's been in his life, and we started talking about just football under BA and his philosophies. And I was talking about BA says that Tell me what a player can do, not what he can't do. And Scotty Montgomery really put it into context about how BA really operates like that. It's not, he's not shooting, he's not blowing smoke up your ass. I mean, that's really how he does things. He had three receivers in Pittsburgh, and he said he had Mike Wallace, Emmanuel Sanders, and a young Antonio Brown. Well, with Mike Wallace, they said he didn't really have very good hands. They said he was a fast, he was an athlete and everything, but his hands, he just weren't very good. So what they did with him is they would run like deep comebacks with him. So when he was coming back, breaking out of his route at a deep route like that, he's pretty much wide open, and the ball is coming at him, and it's slowing down, so it made the catch easier for him because it's a slower ball. It wasn't getting up on him real fast like a slant route or anything like that. So he used him in situations like that to run. He ran route concepts basically that would let him see the ball coming so he would catch the ball better, and he had obviously career years there. Emmanuel Sanders as well, they said he didn't like contact. He didn't like getting hit at the line of scrimmage. If you roughed him at the line of scrimmage, he's a smaller guy, if you roughed him at the line of scrimmage, he really wasn't very effective. So what they did is they used stack formations and motioned him across the field, just got him free releases, and that made him super effective there because he was able to get free releases, get downfield, use his speed and athleticism and catch the ball and be gone. And they had Antonio Brown, and Antonio Brown was just a fucking beast, so they just said, do whatever, and they just got him the ball. So it just, depending on who the athlete is and how they catch the ball and everything like that, BA adjusts how he gets the ball to those players, and I thought that was really telling that he's very true about what he says, and he's really going to find what a player does well and utilize that to make them successful. I found that interesting, just in context with the receivers and understanding that, and I figured you guys would like to hear that too. Thought it was pretty cool. Just wanted to share it with you. Go Bucks.
All right, Seth. Appreciate you. Appreciate you sharing that information. Man, I love that story about Mike Wallace, and you know, he's fast as hell, but he can't catch. So let's run deep comebacks. I mean, let's put him in a position to where he's wide open and the ball's going to, hey, if he doesn't hit it, it's going to hit him right in the chest. It's going to have a tough time not catching it. But that's the mentality of a successful coach. Why are we putting this guy in a position to where he fails every time? Why don't we put him in a position to succeed? Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Let's see. Just want to make sure we got... All right, we'll do one more. And really want to hit that roll call hard on Wednesday, next Monday, and next Wednesday as well. So we're going to really... I'm going to fit in a ton of Bucks takes moving forward. I know it's probably going to lead to longer podcasts, but man, this is your party. This is your podcast. This is your party. If you want even more people to show up to this party, you get them hyped. You know I'm pumped. You know I'm hyped. And you know as we get into draft week, I'm going to be getting on my soapbox a little bit, probably preaching a little bit, because I'm going to be filled with all kinds of adrenaline. That doesn't mean you can't do the same with your Bucks takes. Record it, your phone, save it, email it to bucksuncensored@gmail.com. Roll call, your name, where you're coming from, and time to get people fucking hype, right? Eric in San Diego made the trek all the way from San Diego last year to attend the 2018 Bucks Uncensored draft party. He's doing it all again this year.
Justin Stick here, is Eric out in San Diego calling my Bucks take. Fucking roll call, San Diego, as well as North Carolina, making this single call right now. I'm coming in from San Diego. My best friend Alex is coming in from North Carolina. We're fucking pumped. Cannot wait for this fucking draft party. And I know you sent a message on Twitter to somebody. I responded with it. For anybody questioning, come to this thing. You don't need to know anybody. Not a soul, right? It literally, I walked in there, didn't know a person, and I randomly sent a message to Harold and was like, hey, I know we never talked before, where are you guys at right now? I'm trying to go grab a drink. And that was it. That's how it started. That's the Jimmy, how it all started. So, and from there, talked to probably like 15 of these guys now I mean, it's just, it really ends up being a family, like a really great group of guys and girls that you get to hang out with, and everyone just has a great time drinking, talking Bucks, and yeah, I mean, it's the biggest unwind that you could ask for. So if you're hesitant about it, don't be. Come enjoy it, and yeah, go Bucks.
You know, I'm really glad Eric sent that in. Yeah, he took a leap of faith last year. He flew all the way to Tampa from San Diego. He did not know a soul. I had never met Eric. Now, we had interacted multiple times on the podcast, on social media, but I'd never met Eric. I mean, I honestly don't know if I could do that. You know? It's not for everyone. But I will say this. If you do it, you won't be disappointed. I mean, I sit here and I watch Ken from Canada, Eric from San Diego, Jeremy from Naples, Biani from Dallas, T from South Florida. I mean, all the guys locally, right? The 119 boys over on the East Coast. You had Lee from the T. I mean, I could obviously name everyone. But people just show up and not know anyone. And then they go to this party and you just see them. I mean, I remember it was probably Wednesday. I want to say it was Wednesday night. People started to get in. And I went and met some people at the hotel the night before the draft. And we decided, because the hotel is right next door to the Brick House. So we just walked over to the Brick House and we're grabbing a drink and some food. And like Rodzilla shows up. And then Eric from San Diego shows up. And like, I guess they were all communicating on social media. So what I would encourage y'all to do, if you're coming in, if you are a one-off, okay? If you don't know anyone, you're coming by yourself. Contact me. Contact Javier, Harold, who else? Who else is going to be at the hotel? Contact Eric, San Diego. I mean, reach out, contact Lou, reach out to these people. You know, if we're doing anything that Wednesday night, or if we're going out to dinner somewhere, we'll let you know. We're not making it a big deal. It's just friends going out, but don't be shy to send us a direct message or something. Thursday at noon, we're gonna be at the pool at the hotel. So the Courtyard by Marriott. If you're staying there, great. If you're not, you can still come to the pool party. I took both days off of work. We'll probably do the pool again on Friday. And then, of course, the draft party Thursday night and Friday night. And Thursday night, we'll have probably 1,500 to 2,000 people. Friday night, we'll probably pack the... we'll probably get around 500 to 600 people. The Friday night is a much more intimate setting, which I actually love. We had an apps because Thursday night is so crazy for me that I'm running around and just, I'm trying to do my best in getting a beer and getting a shot whenever I can, but I'm trying to spread myself as thin as I can and talk to as many people as I can, because I just want to thank y'all for coming out. Friday night with less people, I tend to cut it loose a little bit. So by all means, come on out for Friday night and Thursday night. But anyway, it's going to be a blast. I'm pumped. I'm excited. I can't wait to do Wednesday's podcast. And then next week is draft week. So it's a very exciting time when it comes to not only the draft, the party, the schedule's going to be released this week. Maybe we identify another road trip. Bucks Mob goes on the road. We did the first ever stick carrier road trip last year to New Orleans. Huge success. Blast. Had a great time. I don't see why I wouldn't want to do something like that again this year. So definitely going to keep an eye on that schedule when it's released. And I hope all of you had a great week. Okay. Have a great week. Try and get as much done at work as you can this week, because next week you're not going to be able to focus at all. Thank you to Buffalo Wild Wings for hosting this event. all of our events, and of course sponsoring the podcast. We love them and what they've done for the Bucks Mob, so thank you to them. Thank you to Mastro Subaru. Those guys give discounts to Bucks fans and Bucks Mob members just for being a fan of the team, okay? Mastro Subaru, they got a location in Orlando and right in here in Tampa, right here in Tampa, off of Hillsborough near the Veterans, okay? MastroSubaru.com, you can check out their full inventory. Bud Light stepped up, man. They're the title sponsor of the 2019 Bud Light Bucks Uncensored Draft Party, so we do love them for stepping up and, you know, just being awesome, man. Pepin in this area is just been a blast to work with over the years, and I know the Bud Light will be flowing on draft night, both nights, so it's going to be great with those 5 for $15, 16-ounce aluminum bottles of Bud Light, and Mick Ultra. And, of course, thank you to Christian at Headlines Barbershop, man. Guy's giving away. He's changing lives with his hair loss treatment. I'm going to be showing off one of his treatments at the party and giving away a free treatment, which is like $2,000, $3,000 giving away for free to somebody at the draft party. Awesome, awesome stuff. And thanks to each and every one of you, right? I'm going to have thousands of people show up, you know, listening to this podcast, being part of JoeBucksFan.com's network. I'm just humbled, honored, to be a part of their network and to know all of you and to get to see all of you in a week and a half. It's going to be a blast, man. If you have come to our draft parties, you know what to expect, man. It is a family reunion. It is unlike anything you're going to experience year after year after year. And if you are new, you're in for a treat. Because like I said, I mean, you come to that first one like Eric did last year, you can't wait to come to the next one because you want to see all those people that you just met a year ago and you've been interacting with all year long, but you haven't seen. This is like your one chance to party with those friends again. So with that being said, if you are new, welcome to the fucking family. Nailed it.
Show! Yeah.